If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the Psalms, to Psalm number 100. Most of the Psalms that are numbered in the 90s are known as the kingly Psalms. The people of God, for well over 2,000 years, some of these 2,500 years old, have been singing these hymns of praise, particularly in the 90s, focus on God's rule as king over creation. And when you go through those Psalms, you will run into the phrase, "The Lord reigns. He's robed in majesty. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble." And there are throughout these Psalms commands for us to sing and shout and make noise. In fact, in Psalm 96, we read, "Let the heavens be glad." Let the heavens be glad. And let the earth rejoice. And the 100th Psalm stands at the end of these kingly psalms. And the reason why I have chosen to speak from this psalm should be obvious. If you have it in front of you, if you will look at the title of this psalm. In fact, in the Psalms, in the Hebrew, the first verse is actually the title. But in our English translations, we start with verse 1 as what is verse 2 in the Hebrew text. And we just put out the title there, which is a psalm for giving thanks. So you think that would be appropriate for tonight? I'm thinking it works pretty well. Now, this is not the only psalm of thanksgiving. In fact, and we'll not take the time to look at it tonight, but the 107th psalm has been called the Pilgrim's Psalm. And that's because when the Puritans came over, it was this psalm that became so dear to them, because even though it told the story of the children of Israel, it was recounting very, very closely to their experience a description of what they were going through. They cherished that psalm. The 118th psalm actually has the word thanks in it more than any other psalm. But this psalm, the old 100th, is uniquely and specifically identified as the psalm for giving thanks. We're going to put it up on the screen, and I want you to read it with me, okay? Read with me. Here we go. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." There are some passages that are a bit more difficult to analyze because of their structure, and sometimes there's a subtle nuance that's flowing through that particular text. But this psalm is not like that. The psalm is really easy to grasp. In fact, it's comprised of these five verses in our English translation. And in those five verses, did you notice, we'll highlight them here for you, the seven commands that are here? Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with thanks, with singing. And then the command to know that the Lord, He is God. And then we skip a bit and drop down to verse 4, where we are commanded, enter His gates with thanksgiving. We are commanded, give thanks to Him, and we are commanded to bless His name. And so what you have is these things that we are ordered to do, but God just doesn't tell us what to do. He gives us the reason why to do that. And so after those first four commands, then you're given a reason why you are to make that joyful noise and serve the Lord with gladness and come into His presence with singing and know that the Lord, He is God. And the reason for that is because He made us. And He owns us. And He is our shepherd. There's good reason. Then the commands again that we have in verse 4, followed up by this other reason in verse number 5. And so when you put it all together, you have this response and reason. Response and reason. And it all fits together for the people of God who, if we are rightfully thinking of God, will be overwhelmed and driven to respond in a manner that we are commanded to. I'm not going to go through the whole psalm tonight, but I am going to focus a bit on the first response in verses 1 and 2, in first part of verse 3, and the reason for that there at the end of verse number 3. When Nathan opened the service tonight by reading this psalm, he read that opening line the way in which it is given. Shout! Make a joyful noise! And I want to remind you that this is a command by God to us. It is a command that is directed to you, because last I checked, you and I are part of all the earth. You know what I mean? And this is a command that is given by the king to his subjects that tell us how our king is to be approached. When we see the king, when the king shows up, one of the responses that we are to have to the king is to make a joyful noise. He is serious about you and me shouting in His presence. Make. How do you make? How do you make noise? How do you create noise? You don't have to ask kids that, do you? They got that down. You can yell. We got these two little boys that live behind us. I've told you about them before. They are a blast to watch. They, for no reason other than God has given them a voice and they want to use it, will just go out in the backyard and just yell. One day one of them discovered how to whistle and whistled loud, and he spent all, he thought, there's no way that this kid can whistle for 3 hours straight. He did it. Just made noise for 3 hours. You can yell, you can stomp your feet, you can clap your hands, you can get 2 pieces of wood, and better yet, 2 pieces of metal, and just bang them together. You can find an instrument and put air through it. But whatever your hand finds in order to make noise, do it loudly and do it joyfully. That's what the text is saying. But when do you make a joyful noise? You make a joyful noise when you hear good news. You make a joyful noise when something surprises you that is good. When you find out somebody is expecting a child and you are so thrilled for them. You, God, that's great. Name it Bob. That's my joke. Every family needs a Bob. You express gladness when and noise when you appreciate something, when you are surprised by an unexpected gift. You make noise when your football team scores, or hopefully when the Red Wings win tonight, or when your kid makes a goal in soccer. You forget your inhibitions and you make some noise. It was in the fall of 1976, my high school marching band was doing the pregame and the halftime show for the Monday night football game in Buffalo, New York. And just that day, the most incredible running back in the NFL, who at that time played for the Buffalo Bills, had been holding out on contract negotiations, just re-signed earlier that day. And the crowd was stacked into that concrete stadium. Over 80,000 plus were there. And we were on the field ready to play the national anthem when that star, O.J. Simpson, came out of the tunnel and onto the field. And the response of the crowd was so loud. It gave me an appreciation for what quarterbacks go through when they're trying to call the signals and the crowd is deafening. It was so loud that moment on the field that standing next to me was the bass drummer, whose job it was to hit his drum, which called the band to attention so that we could start the national anthem. And the director was trying to get his attention, and I saw that, and he wasn't paying attention, and he was standing just right here next to me. His name was Denny, and I, trying to remain in position, I looked over at Denny, and I said, "Denny!" And he couldn't hear me. It was that loud. The people were that excited, responding with that level of noise. And you know what? That was just 80,000 people. That's all that was. That wasn't the trees and the rocks, the mountains and the ocean. It wasn't all the earth responding with all that it is for the King when He comes. This command for us as an expression of our thanks, that's what the psalmist is saying. Here is how we give thanks. We make joyful noise to the Lord. We acknowledge our appreciation. We acknowledge our surprise at the good news that He knows us, that He loves us, that He redeems us. News like that demands a response like this. Whatever you've got, whether your hands to clap or your feet to stomp or your mouth to yell or your voice to sing, whatever it is, make joyful noise. I was thinking of this. Because sometimes I get the sense that when we are encouraged on Sunday morning as a people to make noise, to worship God loudly, that some think, well, I'm a little dignified for that. That's something the younger people can take care of. Why do you think we are encouraged to respond with an ovation to the truth that we have just sung or we've just declared back to the Lord? Why would you ever withhold your exuberance? Why would you not be as serious as God is about you and me joyfully shouting to the Lord? There's only one reason. Because in our heart of hearts, we're really not that impressed with Him. If you don't realize the extent to which He has rescued you, when you don't realize how close you are to death, how close you were to being lost forever, when you realize that and you see how rich He is in mercy, how deep is His grace, how intense is His love, how wide is His forgiveness, how certain is His faithfulness, then you are overwhelmed and you are celebrating and expressing gladness, and you will make a joyful noise to the Lord. You know what, brothers and sisters? If we can make joyful noise to orchestras, appreciating the skill with which they play, if we can make a joyful noise to sports teams, to performances that are done for us on a stage, my goodness, we can certainly make a joyful noise to the Lord. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Serving is another way to express thanksgiving to God. This Saturday is our clothing closet. What an opportunity to give thanks to God. Think of that. If you are going to be serving on Saturday, here is a great way. In fact, now if some of you are thinking, man, I ought to be serving on Saturday. Yes, you should be. Okay. Serving is a way to express appreciation for what God has done and who He is. You are serving Him by showing kindness toward others. And Jesus said, you know what? When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to Me. Serve people with gladness as a means of serving the Lord. Doing it with gladness is the result of being thankful. If you're serving with drudgery, if it's a duty, let that be a warning light to you that the gospel has lost its appeal. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. This is the third response of giving thanks. Hey, come here. Come here. Ever hear anybody say that? Come here. Today, I had a funeral. It was a very, very hard funeral. It was a funeral of a 22-year-old girl. And there was just an overwhelming amount of grief in this funeral. And there are times in our funeral customs here in which particularly the family comes together. typically at the end of the service, after everybody else has passed by the casket, the family comes together. And I observed, and there's reasons for this, but today there was one who didn't come, who did not want to be loved upon and did not want to give love in return. And at the graveside, there were appeals to people come. People who were standing out, away, observing, while the rest of the family had huddled together. And the appeal was come. You come, be part of this. And I'm watching that struggle that's going back and forth. And a family member would go out and would appeal to this one to come over here and be part of this. You come. And the invitation was refused. Only adding difficulty to already a very, very tough situation. And as I observed all of that, I thought, why is it that we stand off and say, no, I'm not coming. I'm not going to be part of this. Why wouldn't you do that? And I could only think of a couple of reasons. One is because I really don't belong there. I really don't feel like I'm worthy of that. I should be part of that. Or this is ridiculous. This is stupid. And I'm not lowering myself to do that. Beloved, we are called by the King to come into His presence with singing. And when we stay aloof and say, that's for somebody else to do, or that's ridiculous. What we are saying is that I don't owe you anything. You don't impress me, God. There's nothing that you have that I need. I'm fine all by myself. The invitation is a summons by the King that is for our good. That last command of that opening section in verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. Oh, don't skip over that too quickly, for that was the force of the name that God gave to Himself when Moses asked, what is your name? Know that the Lord, He is. I am that I am. That verb, know, is a summons from the courtroom of God for us to be involved with God in a very personal way. It is also a call to assure us that we have no doubt that He is God. So be thankful He is God. And the reason for that is because He is Creator. It is He who made us. He is owner. And we are His. That is, He can do whatever He wants. Like Nebuchadnezzar, He could command that when we hear the music, we go all bow down. After all, kings have that right. But this King, the Creator, this King, our owner, is also the Shepherd. And we are the sheep of His pasture. And here is a king who is powerful and personal, who is mighty and merciful, who is majestic and kind, who is not only a king who is respected, he is a king who longs to be embraced and loved. When you are near the king, you are aware that he is the king and you are not. When you are near a powerful king, you are in fear that any wrong move may be your last. But when you are near a powerful and good king who has used his might to provide protection and used his authority to provide you with good things and to rescue you from enemies who would otherwise destroy you, then no one has to order you to get on your face before this king. No one has to command you to shout praises to him when you see him riding in splendor. It is an instinctive, wholehearted response of you to this king. And that's what this psalm of thanksgiving is about. And that is what for us tomorrow is all about. The king of all the earth has provided all that we need by means of his very own life and death for us on the cross. And now we, along with the earth, that will also be redeemed, are responding to him in a manner that shows how much we appreciate him. And what is more, this good king, this loving king, this faithful king is king forever. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And this psalm is a taste of what that day will be like when the king comes to take up his throne and when all the earth makes a joyful noise. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, these commands that you have given to us get right to the very heart of us and call upon us to respond back to you with our whole being. And that is only right, for by your grace you have saved and rescued all of us. And on this Thanksgiving Eve, it is so good for us to express back to you our worship for what you have done for us in your own life and death. And it is also good for us to express thanks to you because of what you have providentially ordained to allow us at this time to be able to live in this land with the history that we do have. Though not a long history, it nonetheless is a history of people who came here in order to worship you, came here in order to make you known, came here in order to build communities of people around your word. And on this holiday that is uniquely ours as a country, we particularly enjoy it because it was given birth by the people of God who endured so much and faced so much in this desolate wilderness that met them. And now we, not only as a nation, but even more intentionally the people of God, stand on their shoulders and seek to continue to make the gospel of Christ known. in this land. For in Jesus' name we pray.